Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. And on this episode, we have a special Joe Robinson's Corrections, joined by the man, the myth, the legend himself on the show. He calls in to give us a piece of his mind how we've been fucking up his whole world. So stay tuned for that. There's some fun stories about the holiday season, about a murder mystery that we just did, all types of good stuff. But listeners, if you could find it in your heart of hearts to drop us a 5-star rating on whatever player you listen to us on, especially it's helpful on the Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and shit like that, drop us that 5-star rating, slam the like button. It takes 5 seconds, costs you absolutely nothing, and means the absolute world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 11, and get ready for The Reflecting Skin, Part 1.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout-out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Quality time, video games, all the thrills, comedy and adventures. Quality time, video games, all the thrills, comedy and adventures.
Awesome.
No, I don't remember him from Clockwork Orange. Who is he in that?
Alex's dad.
Oh, yeah, it is Alex's dad, isn't it?
Well, still better than
now that Tony's living here, he even paid a month in advance. He can't just throw him out on the street.
You just can't do that. No. It can't happen.
And then, of course, he was in Temple of Doom as the head of the regiment of English. So,
I think he's was, now. Wasn't he?
I think he's dead now.
He's dead, all right? Can I go now?
Yeah.
That's good. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric.
Oh, that was a horrible opening.
I didn't say it was great, but it was what it is.
That was horrible.
Through the power of editing, it'll sound amazing. I'll do the little thing where we're talking about the other thing.
I'm gonna just insert a tape of girls having sex.
Okay. That would be a good intro, right? Do you think? I think people would like
just
that.
Just trying to help the show out.
I'm Eric Woodworth. Thank you for joining us once again, and I'm joined by my magnanimous brother.
Who are you talking about?
Jeremy P. Woodworth.
It's me, Josh.
Josh? Oh, gosh. Joshy.
You don't know how bad my thoughts are.
They're the worst thoughts in the world. Absolutely. Oh, man. We got a hell of a movie for tonight. One I'd never watched before. And, Jeremy, powerful choice by you. Right? I know your type of film. It's The River's Edge. It needs to have a high level of strangeness in it, and this provides all of that.
I must say, probably my favorite ending of all films of all time.
I mean, it's not great, but it's
the greatest. Yes. So.
All right. Well.
By the way, it always ends with screaming.
Always ends with screaming.
And I would just listen there, beautiful girls, and hear them scream.
All right. Well,
hey, let's start up a resonator.
I'm going to try and attempt to have a special Joe Robinson's Corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson, do you have any corrections for us this week on Quality Time?
All right, here it is.
Time to edit this out. This gaps.
No, I think we let it rock. I think that rocks all the way.
Hey.
Joe Robinson. What's
hey,
up, dude?
Hey.
What's up, boys? Who's on the show today?
It's just me and Jeremy, the Ridge. The original
OGs.
That's it.
You're the real radio voice.
Now, Joe, we brought you on the show. Welcome, by the way. I'll see you in a couple hours on top of this. But we messed up your correction, and you wanted to correct
the correction. You don't treat them with respect. You know what I mean? I mean, you read them. You can't just read them and then try to figure them out on the air. You know, treat them with some respect. So this is the – and by the way, it wasn't a correction, right? Just maybe an addition. But Jeremy said who played the Rasta guy. He played the Rasta guy. He mentioned something about the Rasta guy in True Romance, Drexel, of course. Uh-huh. And I just said Drexel Spivey. That's all. I just mentioned what his last name was, right? Okay. So not a correction, just, you know, an addition to whatever you guys are doing, right? I like to help.
Well, now listen, when you called me, you were much more fired up about this.
We're getting there, right? So that's just me. This is where I am right now, right? Mm-hmm. So then you read it. Well, no, I apologize. Then Jeremy goes, Rasta guy? He's not really a Rasta guy. Fucker, I'm quoting you. I even put it in quotes, right? So then what Jeremy does is take exception to me repeating back to him exactly what he said, okay? Anyway, whatever. I'm referencing the guy that Jeremy references. You follow?
I'm
using the words he uses. That was the point that I'm trying to make. Then, when you try to go back and explain that, you fuck it all up. But you've done a million times, right? One time, I'm trying to remember, but you actually said the opposite of what I said, and everybody's like, what the hell? That's not true. Yeah, well, listen, you got to read it ahead of time to know what the correction is. You can't fuck up the correction. And by the way, now we're four deep. You know what I'm saying? The original thing that was said, then my correction, then you reading it, fucking it up. You see what I'm saying? Now I'm on here. You follow? So all you got to do is just get it right the very first time, and we're not here.
All right. Well, I think we got a lot of things to work on, you know? We'll work through this. And listen, that's why we brought you on, so you could set the record straight.
So, again, just to reiterate, the Rasta guy, that's Jeremy. He's the one who said that. So when I then repeated it back, I used Jeremy's words, and then Jeremy goes, what kind of fucking idiot would call him the Rasta guy? He did.
I see both sides.
You got it? What movie are we doing today? What is it?
We're doing The Reflecting Skin. Are you familiar with The Reflecting Skin?
No. I'm not familiar with The Reflecting Skin. Neither is anyone else. This should be a popular episode. Well, you know who's going to listen to it? The maker of The Reflecting Skin.
Hey, are you familiar with Ridley Scott?
Yeah, I'm okay. My bad.
This guy,
I edit that out.
This guy didn't direct it, so.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
What is a Philip? This is directed by Philip Scott, his cousin.
Is this one of Jeremy's friends who lives in a fucking storage unit who made this? Is Jeremy in this movie?
No, but it's like one of Viggo Mortensen's first films. I'd never watched it, and it is, let me tell you, free on YouTube. Guess how many views that this free movie on YouTube has?
Oh, God. Okay, let's guess. Hold on. I'll say...
Released in 1990.
1,100.
1,100? Well, try half. It has about 4,000 views. After this show, it's going to have 4,060 views. So,
all right, let me check. Let me get right to YouTube and check that thing out. Anyway, get my shit right. Did you do any corrections today?
No,
show?
We have you on right now. Now, you said last episode that it's champing at the bit, not chomping at the bit. And
that's
I didn't know that. But isn't that you've said that before, but most people say chomping at the bit, even though that is wrong.
Well, most people say white Rasta, but they're wrong.
Now, you're big into horse racing. Why is it called champing at the bit?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where words come from. Telling you what they are, yeah.
Sounds like a good boxing
documentary. By the way, you don't really chomp at a bit because it's behind their teeth.
Ah.
You really chomp on it.
That's what because I always thought that's what the bit is, the thing in the thing, right? So they're chomping at the bit, but it's champing at the bit. So
then it probably means that if you don't have any teeth and you're just using your gums, it's called chomping.
Mm.
I'm sorry, champing. Sorry, champing.
Okay.
That's probably what it means.
Yeah, so anytime you get a blowjob from a lady that's like 90 years old, it's called getting a champing. You're getting it. You're getting champed.
Well, you hope that anybody who's given, if you're lucky enough to get a blowjob, Jeremy, you probably don't know what the hell we're talking about, but if you're fortunate enough to get one, you hope that they champ the whole time. You don't want any chomping regardless of age.
I go to public restrooms a lot. On the roadside.
And then your other correction was Nick Nolte is in 48 Hours, not in Beverly Hills Cop, which is I think I tried to walk that statement back as it happened, but it was too late. I just let it. You know, I got to keep you on your toes, Joe.
Are you sure you?
Well, that's one of the things that bugs me is when you guys say something fucking stupid as shit, and then. Don't correct your own shit. That's my job. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes Jeremy will come out, you know, literally 40 minutes into the episode and correct it. It's like, well, I've already texted Eric. You see what I'm saying? You've already missed your opportunity. You understand what I'm saying.
What is it? So you give us, like, can we get, like, a five-second rule? So if we do it immediately, it's like when you drop a piece of food. You pick it up, we're dusting off, we're moving on. But over a minute, that's in Joe's territory. That's where he picks it up and cleans it.
As soon as you say something stupid, I'm going to be like, one Mississippi, two Mississippi. And as soon as it reaches five Mississippi, then it's in Joe Robinson's zone.
Now, Joe, right before you hop off of here, just one quick question. We had a murder mystery for Christmas. I know I'm taking you back in time, and you were handing out roles, and a Quality Time listener came up to you and recognized you from the Quality Time podcast. What was that?
She said, aren't you Joe Robinson from Joe Robinson's Corrections on Quality Time? I go, well, among other things, yes. You know what I mean? That's kind of down the list. I mean, I'm not really one to toot my own horn, but, there's nothing else of mine that you consume. You're at this murder mystery. How about Joe Robinson from Die Laughing Productions, the show you're at?
Yeah, usually I only listen to talk radio. You mean you're on the radio as well?
Good one, Jeremy.
Oh, the white Rasta Jeremy Woodward.
All right.
And I think that role was played by some guy named Gary Oldman. I've never heard of him before.
Yeah, Gary Oldman.
My kids call him Gary Oldman.
Yeah, like I literally just did.
My favorite is Sid Vicious. We don't fucking care.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks for setting the record straight and coming on to do your corrections in person. It was a delight, man.
No sweat, guys. Have fun.
All right. Later, dude. Bye.
Later.
What a fucking idiot. No, that was good. Thanks, Joe.
We're reeling them in here at the Shawshank Prison.
So we're going to try to be more diligent in correctly saying the corrections.
We're complete morons.
We're not going to fix that.
By the
all.
Way, everything I do, I blame on drinking.
You blame on drinking?
I blame on drinking.
Well, I'm sober, so I don't have an excuse.
Like that one time I was at the car lot and I ran over a chick because I was drunk. So.
That makes sense.
I was drinking. That's what I told the investigators.
I'm growing.
That's when you got space AIDS and the green stuff grew all over your fingers. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to use this. Joe Robinson, we have now.
But I corrected them, sir.
There you go. I had that queued up for a little late. But hey, now we're officially corrected.
Corrected.
Jeremy, did you have any fun stories from New Year's Eve? Anything bringing into this new year? You got any of that?
You know, living in Woodlawn, it's kind of urban, not quite real Baltimore.
It's not quite Baltimore. It's a little scary sometimes after night.
80% fireworks, 20% gunfire, probably gun shot into the air. So
it is fun shooting guns. I'm not a monster and shoot them into the air. I usually shoot them into the ground so that the bullets don't come down and injure people, because that's a thing that happens. So popping off shots into the air, not a good thing.
I wonder what it sounds like if you fire shotgun into the air. That almost might almost sound like a gun, like a firework. But you know, you hear that, which obviously sounds like a real gun fired into the air, because it almost has like a metallic sound to it. And of course, like firecrackers don't go one at a time. Ping, 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 ping. Versus the real So, yeah.
So some good gunshots you heard. Yeah. I heard a couple of guns pop off around my house, but that was for Christmas, because that's how we celebrate around here.
I like the book by David Simon, A Homicide Life on the Streets, that when you live in the row homes in downtown Baltimore, you'll see the guys around New Year's that kind of come out of their doors like a little cuckoo clock, mm-hmm. just walk right up on the step, fire their guns into the air, and then walk back in. Like, cuckoo! So that was David Simon's way of putting it, which I thought was rather funny. So, yeah. And I spent New Year's alone. So.
Oh, yeah. Your wife's out of town. Yeah, how are you faring by yourself?
She's in Japan, and boy, I got a lot of cleaning up to do when she gets home.
Like, don't get ahead of it. Ooh. Don't get ahead of it.
Ooh, yeah. That's a bachelor lifestyle.
That's
yeah.
how you live in your
Which
life.
It's not too much different, but just a little bit more slobby than usual. So,
hell yeah.
A little bit more.
Oh, Jeremy, on New Year's Eve, we did a one-off murder mystery, The Final Countdown.
And timed it just exactly to 10 minutes before the countdown.
Yep, and so. We dropped it down. And man, oh man, what a moment to remember.
Oh, wait a second. Who did Justin kiss? Did he kiss Tom? He kissed Tommy Zimbazo, right?
I think so. You know, I don't know who he kissed. I wasn't. Yeah, I was too much in the moment. Just enjoying, trying not to kiss anyone. That was my whole goal, was not to kiss anyone. Wasn't into that. So, because we brought everybody up on stage. I got more fingers in my butt than I've ever had in my entire life. People just walk by, just sticking a thumb in my ass, one after another. But there was a moment near the end of the show, Jeremy, where there was, they brought out like desserts for everybody, right?
Oh yeah, I heard this story on 98 as well.
So they were bringing out, well, yeah, I think Justin told this story, but I pointed this out to this lady, okay? She's coming out, and it's near the end of the night, and there's like these little cheesecake bites,
yeah.
And this lady stacks like maybe 48 of these fucking things into like a giant pyramid
free
plate
food
like
for
that.
Everybody.
And she free food for everybody. She goes and she starts taking it right out the door. And I'm like, holy shit, this lady is going hard. So I pointed out to Justin, and Justin goes, oh my God, no, she's not. She's not taking that much food out of here right now. So Justin went and grabbed an entire plate of cookies, like an entire rack of them, and then chase this lady into the parking lot with them. You're like, excuse me, ma'am, you forgot your cookies. Ma'am, you forgot your cookies. And he comes up on her, and she just makes this grumble like, I don't want any cookies. But it was a very special moment. I really enjoyed the hell out of that.
I think the addition that he added to the story is that Justin first noticed that, wait a second, all the sandwiches are gone, and you had already known and see her going for the yeah. door. So
this bitch is walking out with all the food right now.
Where did all the food go?
I liked how hard she went. No, I respect that lady. That is that's a different level right there. That's taking it to the danger zone.
You know, it costs so much to go to McGoobie's and to have to buy two drinks.
Yeah.
Of course, you need that food.
You taking the cheesecake with you. That's the bottom line. Gosh. That's all you got to do. Oh, man.
That's the John Link way. That's the way you got to live, the anarchist way.
You know, when...
you go back to living in a truck cab with your brother, so...
Dude, if you're not eating free cheesecake and selling your boy pussy, then what are you even doing? What are you even doing at this point?
Oh, okay. I heard another John Link story.
Oh, a new John Link story. Okay. Maybe we should have a segment on the show called The Missing Link. And it's about John Link.
Apparently, one of the times where Edward and I were staying at Chiller, we, of course, don't want to hang with John Link because of his lice problem anymore. But John is calling us all through the night because he's hungry.
I need food now, Jeremy, Edward, could you bring me a sandwich from the trash?
Exactly. That is the whole point, is that Edward showed him where he could buy food earlier and he could get food. But no, he doesn't want to pay for it. He'd rather find it in the garbage somewhere, or he can beg somebody to buy him food. but he refuses to spend his own money on the food.
We live in the most plentiful nation in the world. Why would I buy it?
So the next morning, we find another one of Edward's friends from the past who John has
and smoothed out of food.
Smoothed out of food and got a buffet for him.
Oh, a buffet. That's like a hobo fucking lottery ticket right there.
Breakfast buffet worth of food, as the fact that he had his own money, but he just enjoys begging and suckering people. This is literally Ratso from freaking the movie Midnight Cowboy, but worse. Because Ratso would probably actually buy his own food. If he had money, you know?
Ratso, not again.
Just, you know, if he wasn't such a little midget and so lovable, you just want to kick him. Just want to kick him as hard as you can. So, but instead, we just talk about him.
Yeah, like regular monsters that we are, we just make fun of this homeless man who clearly has dementia. I mean, I like it, personally. This is the way that we live. So I'm okay with that.
You make decisions in life and you live with them. So.
And then you know, you can't go back.
And that's why I've been through at least 5 jobs this year. So.
Hey, Jeremy. You did it, brother. You fucking did it.
I held a job for 4 months. Woo! Yeah, baby. I'm in the system. I can get the unemployment now. Yeah, buddy.
I got that unemployment and I'm going to get it now.
Woo. Work the system.
It's good, Jer. It's real good. So, but
by the way, this film that we've been, I wanted.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, we ready to get
day,
into tonight's.
Day
tonight's.
One.
You've wanted to do this one for a long
day
time.
One.
I'd never watched it, and we're gonna start you off with a little musical interlude to start off this thing. This is a song that Jeremy recorded called "You Can Make Any Movie." Screams in the background are good.
Oh yeah. Some movies don't make sense because the titles are weird, like Reflected Skin and The Naked Lunch. Why is there lunch that is naked? But that's okay. We have movies like Iga and about a guy who turns into a snake. That's okay. We have good movies like The weird creatures who decided to become mixed up and become mixed up zombies. That's why we can name movies anything we want to, even though they're crazy titles. Yeah, like The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Yeah, boys want to see a movie about traveling pants.
All right, Jesus.
Let it go.
I already stopped it.
Pants. And now to finally spell the word that I've never been able to spell. Pants.
K.
That's right.
X.
It has no silent K.
Damn it. So, Reflecting Skin, 1990. Did this movie ever go anywhere other than the Cannes Film Festival?
It's definitely, to me, top 3 cult movies of all time.
It is. One of the only facts I could find about it was that at the Cannes Film Festival, people walked out and said, "This is an instant cult classic," which as a movie director, you have to be saying, "Well, great, I'm not going to make any money at all."
Well,
I think it grossed like $17,000 or something like that.
Yeah, didn't do box office well. Didn't get wide distribution. But hey, there's other cult movies like, you know, Evil Dead.
Yeah, well, yeah. Those have been wildly successful.
Yeah.
By the way, did you hear about the Evil Dead news? So you know that Ashy Campbell,
slashy.
Bruce Campbell said he is retired from the role of Ash now, that since the Starz show of Ash vs. Evil Dead is done. Well, recently on Reddit, director Sam Raimi got on there for Ask Me Anything, and one of the questions was, will you ever do Evil Dead 4, like direct Evil Dead 4? And he said, yeah, but the only way I'll do it is if Bruce comes back and he plays fucking Ash again. So he says he's retired, so I hope he changes his mind. So Sam Raimi says he's willing to do Evil Dead 4 as long as Ashy Slashy comes back to fucking reprise his role, baby.
Takes that Buick 88 back to whatever wormhole he's going through.
Hell
so,
yeah, dude.
All souped up.
So I'm pretty excited about that. I think this could be the catalyst, because Sam Raimi calls you and says, hey, you got to play that role, and I got to pour mountains of fake blood on you again. Is that cool?
I think Sam Raimi's supposed to come to Monster Mania.
Yeah, which is pretty huge, right? He's gonna have such a long line to even get to.
That has got to be monstrous line.
I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, that's second only to like Romero and.
I don't think he's second to Romero or Wes Craven.
Well, yeah,
I don't think he's going to be second to either of them. He's Sam Raimi, bro.
He's big. Yeah, he's probably the biggest bucks ever since the Spider-Man films.
It's like, yeah, it's going to be. He's going to have a. I don't even think I'm going to even try to meet him. I'm not even going to try.
Hail he who has come from the skies to save us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and don't forget the guy who does the shootout in Miller's Crossing. So,
well, that should be pretty exciting. So, this movie is very artsy. It's directed by Philip Ridley, no relation to Ridley Scott or the Scott Brothers at all.
For cinematography.
It is very beautifully shot. I will say that the things about this movie that are the goods. Okay, it's very beautifully shot. It's a pretty decent score. It's pretty visually arresting, but not in a way that like what's it called? Is a visually arresting movie, Mandy, by Panos. I love Mandy. It's fucking great. It's not as visually arresting as that, but it's good. Like I enjoy the technical aspects of it.
Mandy is more of a Metallica video than a Metallica video,
dude. Mandy fucking
or
rocks.
An REM video for that matter.
We could just do this show only on like 5 minutes of the movie Mandy at a time. We just do an hour about each fucking 5 minute clip. So this movie is considered to be a horror and a horror thriller, I guess. No real monsters, but there's implied things that happen. It's fucking weird. Let's just hop right into it and take you through The Reflecting Skin, which, by the way, if you're interested in watching this movie, completely free on YouTube. We'll put the link in the bio for this. So if you scroll down and you're at work and you want to be like, let's see what this Reflecting Skin movie is all about, you can sit there and watch it on your free time.
Can I say that there's only one movie that could be creepier than this, and that's a movie of just raping babies.
Okay, so. I mean, there's some bad things that happen in it, but it's not a... Jeremy, this movie is not a Serbian film, okay? A Serbian film is fucking... That's horrible. That's a horrible film.
I haven't seen it, so thank God.
I mean, it is, Jeremy, there's... When you get to the end of a Serbian film and you get to see what's underneath this fucking blanket, God, you don't... It's pure atrocity.
I remember Uncle Ben was really, really turned on by Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, I never seen it. Never heard of it.
With, I don't know if that's Kurt Russell, but there's only one scene where the crazy Indian tribe that even the Indians think are crazy, they just, like, take this guy and, like, half him in front of the other guys that are being held hostage, and you're like, oh, okay, that's pretty bad.
All right, so, good job.
It's kind of like a Cannibal Holocaust kind of deal.
So the movie opens up with the three kids playing a little prank on the new lady in town, this British woman named Dolphin.
There's a new kid in town.
You have your main kid Seth, who looks like he could be straight out of The Omen. you have Kim, and then you have Aben. Kim is the red-haired stepchild friend, and Aben is I don't know, the other kid. So,
can I say the only thing that would have made this film better is if Dolphin was played by Sandra Locke?
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking. So I don't know the physics of how this works, Jeremy, but apparently they take like a tube and they blow a frog up to like balloon size.
Yeah, fill its ass up with air.
Does that work? Is that a thing that frogs can do?
I've never tried it.
So they do this, and then they leave the frog by the side of the road. and then they shoot it with a slingshot, and it explodes blood all over Dolphin, the new lady in town. And she is not happy about this. She is not having it. So within the first minute, you see an exploding frog with blood.
And I hate to say, this movie is so good to see over and over again because of the double entendre.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that means. But you think that the kid is upset because he's like exploded this frog in the lady's face. But then after seeing the movie once, you're like, oh, he might be thinking something different. Because she's got blood all over her face, and she creeps the fuck out of him. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, the kids then run away to a nearby barn to have a little chat.
Ma says it's wicked.
What? Exploding frogs.
Why?
She says it's a sin to kill things. It's just a frog.
You know, so you hear the flies in the back?
Yeah. The flies will come into play. You'll find out what's in there soon enough.
I hope there's nothing dead in that barn.
Make it dead. Ma's dead. She's in heaven.
No, she's not. She's in a coffin.
Not true. She's in heaven. She's an angel.
What's an angel?
A baby with wings. Every time you make your ma cry, you kill an angel.
I make my ma cry all the time. Sometimes I just look at her and she cries.
Someone who doesn't blink. They go to heaven and become an angel.
That's not so, Aben. Your ma's in a coffin being eaten by worms.
I'd just like to apologize to all the Quality Time listeners. I'm going to have to freeform this one.
Okay.
You know you make an angel die when you make your mom cry. Oh, yeah. That should have been another song for today.
There
so.
You go.
This movie deserves a lot of songs.
And I like how they decide to lay into Aben a little bit more.
So, you're going to cry?
Your mom's dead.
Your dead-ass mom.
Aben's crying.
Because your mom's dead, and you make
crying.
Angels.
Aben's crying.
Aben's
crying.
All right, you know, Aben's just fine because he has a normal dad. So, who we'll see later.
So, our main culprit of the exploding frog, Seth, runs home to go see his family, the rest of the doves. We meet Ma, who can't stop smelling the gas of her rotten husband. He runs a gas station right outside the farm, and he's like, I can't get the smell of gas out of here. It just smells like gas all the time.
Can I say who the dad reminds me of?
Who's that?
He reminds me of the dad from Weird Science.
A little bit, yeah.
He's a
smell
plumber.
That. Yeah.
Plums.
But she's very excited that her eldest son, Cameron, is returning home from the theater of World War II in the Pacific, which she has a nice little American flag shrine set up in the corner with his beautiful face. And Cameron, you can see the beautiful mug of none other than Viggo Mortensen. So of Viggo Mortensen's first films here.
A little green book.
So Seth goes outside to help Pa, who's reading a little book.
What you reading there, Pa?
Book.
There you go. What's it about, Pa?
Vampires, son.
What's vampires?
They're not very nice. They bite your neck and drink your blood. Stuff like that. Not very sociable.
What do they do that for, Pa?
Because if they don't, they get old. Do it to stay young. And the people whose blood they drunk, why, they get old and then they die. And then during the day, they sleep in a coffin, and at night, they turn into a bat.
Now
if they feel so inclined.
As this is happening, the lady they pranked is walking up to his mom, and Seth sees this as she's crossing over the farm to go tell his mom the horrible thing that Seth has done to her.
And these parts, Pa?
Wouldn't be at all surprised that there'd be some vampires around here.
You know, the movie just kind of is really predates Unbreakable by at least 10 years.
So you're drawing connotations to...
It's just a movie that shows that comic books are evil.
Okay, gotcha.
You know.
So a car pulls up to this pump. It's a beautiful black Chevy with a bunch of greasers in it. And the boy Seth goes to fill him up. And they have this really creepy exchange.
He loves that car, though.
God.
Is that your father up there?
Yeah.
He looks like a scarecrow. Are you a scarecrow's son?
No.
I was hoping you were. We'll be seeing you. Would you like that?
Yeah.
And he touches his lip with his finger like this.
Now, Seth.
So Seth, do you like rape?
And so you like to be sexually harassed by a bunch of teenage boys? All right. Hope you like that. So
that young Beavis and Butthead moment where, wow, you guys are really cool. I wish you'd rape me.
So mom comes over mad as hell with Seth for blowing up the frog at that lady and forces him to go next door to apologize.
You go around there and say you're sorry.
But Ma!
Get now!
So he heads over to the creepy old dolphin's house and, it's really weird. One of the few facts you can find about this movie is that Dolphin's house is like completely yellow, and they actually painted all of the wheat yellow. The director he's like, I want it to look more Americana. He's like a British dude. He's like, oh, it's just what I read about America. They have yellow wheat fields. So I had to go and paint all of the wheat field yellow to make that work. So he goes over and knocks. She invites him into the house where we get to hear a little bit of crazy dolphin talk.
Frogs. Who cares? It's my dress I was worried about. Did far worse when I was a child, goodness yes. We used to tie fireworks to cats' tails and set them on fire. Ever do that?
You know, good old-fashioned fun where you torture animals other than frogs. You know, the only way to become a serial killer is to escalate.
Oh, you should do it. Boy, do they move. Whoosh, straight down the street. Ass is burnt to a cinder. I remember once, we put my mum's canary in the oven. Went pop. Exploded. Just like that frog, come to think of it.
All right. It's also worth noting that, like, her entire house is covered with, like, skulls on the inside, like, and bones, giant harpoons,
giant
and whale.
Harpoon.
And it's pretty badass. It's pretty metal inside.
And, you know, the thing about, like, killing or torturing animals, it's like the first time you do it, you get this real nasty knot in your stomach. But like the second or third time you do, you just get an enormous boner. Well, not if you're a girl. You know, you're clitoris gets giant.
Clitoris.
Gets giant. I like it.
Yeah, my clitoris is hard. I got a hard clitoris.
Yeah, I've never seen or heard of these things, but it's like a clitoris. Clamus.
So Seth sees a picture of her husband, and she tells a morbid story about her late husband.
His name was Adam. I met him in London. I married him and came here. We were happy for 1 week. One day I went into the barn, and there he was. His face was bright red, tongue blue, eyes going pop. He'd hung himself, you see.
Man, lady, you got the best stories.
Where's the laugh track?
He was very beautiful. His eyes were... His hair. His skin. Oh, his skin.
This lady is a fucking
troll. She's
gonna
like masturbate right in front of the kid.
Oh man! Spoiler alert. So She mentions that she can't see the sunshine anymore without him, and she starts singing "You Are My Sunshine," and he mentions how she looked much younger in that picture because he kept her young. Now she's just falling apart.
You know, it's real nice of a kid who has a little checklist he can check off. Can't be in the sun anymore.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Really enjoyed that blood on her face.
Sure are sounding a lot like a vampire, lady. I'm no doctor, but you sound like a crazy person. So she then asks him this.
Tell me, how old do you think I am?
50.
50? Why, what a compliment.
Well, you look like an old bitch.
I'm 200 years old. Can't see all my wrinkles and gray hairs. Look.
Yeah.
You can.
Great. She just freaking told me she's a vampire, bitch.
So she's taken back by him saying, yes, I see all the wrinkles, because kids are fucking cruel and super honest. So
I hate to say it, the first day that I ever saw this was on VHS at the store, and I was like, cool freaking cover, because it's got Seth sitting there with the harpoon on his lap like, what the fuck is this movie? It looks freaking awesome. So
she then comes, she leaves, and then sits down with a little box in her lap that is filled up with pictures of her her deceased husband and some cologne.
Smell my dead body.
She smells the cologne and then immediately just starts.
This is exactly what Dr. Phil does, except he just takes off running.
So. Yeah, yeah. So she gifts young Seth a giant harpoon that because I guess her family was into whaling before this. So now he has a giant whale harpoon. But this obviously creeps him the fuck out, and he runs out of the house back home with his sweet new whale harpoon.
You know, he really just should have stabbed her right through the heart with it instantly once he told her she was a vampire.
Yeah, dumb bitch. So he lays down and starts reading Dad's book, Vampire Blood, and the illustration looks 100% like the lady on the front. He comes to the easy conclusion that this bitch is a fucking vampire, even though she hasn't been out at night. She's only been out in the middle of the day. She doesn't have a coffin. Whatever. You know, there's many other things that aren't happening here, but...
I think the Twilight kids also were out in the daytime.
Oh, true that, true that. So
I'm just waiting for her to stop a car with her hand during this movie.
His mom catches young Seth trying to read by matchlight and punishes him by forcing him to drink a shit ton of water, which is the weirdest waterboarding 1950s punishment I've ever seen. Didn't they just beat the shit out of kids in the 1950s? What is this drinking water crap?
Just a horror. Really, you can kill a person by making them drink water.
Yeah, I get it, but it's still. It's not fun, but. I mean, I beat my ass. I don't want to drink a whole gallon of water before I go to sleep. It sounds horrible.
Yeah, you kill a person if you drink. I think it only takes you like 3 gallons or 4 gallons.
Okay.
You know, something about the pH or something does something to your belly and you're done.
So as he's getting punished, Pa comes in with Aben's dad, Josh. They explain that Aben is missing, and Aben's dad questions him as he's sitting on his lap, but Seth pisses his pants because he's drank too much water. Oh, God. Nothing like pissing your pants on the neighbor's kid who's probably dead. So the next day, Seth and the other boy, Kim, are talking about the new lady and how she's a vampire and that she probably ate Eben. The two break into her house through a window and start snooping around.
What you looking for?
Her coffin.
Her coffin?
Here somewhere. She sleeps in it.
So they go upstairs to the bedroom, and they find a gnarly conch shell, and they start to just immediately like, man, this is really nice. Let's trash it! Break everything! And so they just start fucking this bitch's room up, which is pretty... It made me laugh, you know? Give me something to break!
What a really cool shell!
Kill it! I want it dead!
Wait a second. Did this not... Wait a second. Beavis and Butthead, when did that start? Like 88 or something?
I want to say mid-90s.
So this might have been something that triggered Beavis and Butthead as well.
So you're saying that this movie, Mike Judge saw this, he's like, this is what Beavis and Butthead spawned
Beavis
from.
Beavis and Butthead are real kids. they are realistic, but this movie is like...
Let's break this lady's room.
showing the evils of childhood, so, you know.
So the boys are exhausted and they from breaking up our room, and they decide to rest on the bed when they hear her come in. They quietly come down the steps and watch her as she basically finger bangs herself in her house. She's like, oh, comes down and she just plops down her chair. She's like, oh, it's time for a good
finger
banging.
Wasn't she looking at her husband's stuff again?
Yeah, yeah. And just finger banging herself to her husband's stuff. I have some audio. The boys try to sneak past her back out through the window, but make too much noise. They're spotted. Which to me, honestly, I think this scene really, more than anything, probably inspired the movie Home Alone. You know the scene where he... Kevin!
I don't know if this is another top 10 movies of my all time because of all the screaming in it. So,
the boys hightail it back to their own respective homes, and as Seth heads away, he runs into like these two clearly 1950s trans women who are walking down the street making weird noises.
Oh,
the things you did to get a kick back in the 1950s, like, hey, this little kid's coming. What are we going to do? Start making these weird ass.
They're bird callers. Can I say this movie kind of triggers one of my biggest fears?
What's that?
You know, one of my biggest fears is, like, if I die, then I'll have to, like, you know, be judged by God. But the worst thing is actually, like, sitting there for hour after hour of God just playing me back the tapes of me masturbating and just making commentary like, here's another time when you masturbate. Do I have to watch every second of every time I masturbated? Damn it!
So. I mean, I could watch it, I mean, but I could only jerk off to it again like once or twice.
But it's the commentary like, oh, here, you were using a blanket instead of your hand. Well, thanks! You have to see that too! Damn it!
The fears are real, you know? The fears are real.
And here you decided it was fine to look at a video of a tranny that had a penis. Like, okay, fine, I watched that too.
She was a hot trans. God.
At least he's having sex with a woman, okay?
I loved all of your creations. That's it. That's all. If I'm guilty of anything, it's that.
Okay, we're on the 100th hour of you masturbating, so...
So he runs home to go see Pa right after that thing freaks him out and asks Pa if he needs a drink of water. Seth goes to grab him some water from the well when they find Eben's body floating within the well.
Now, obviously, Eben got enough water.
Whoa, looks like you're filled up. So next we see the deputy talking to the Dove family and... This is kind of a long scene, but really sets up the rest of the film. So here's the fuzz talking to the Dove family.
Let's go over this again, shall we?
How many times can he answer the same questions? He's told you all he knows.
Think I should be the judge of that, don't you, ma'am? You know Sheriff Ticker?
Well, yeah, yes, I know him.
He certainly seems to know your husband. Knows him real well. Has quite a lot to say about him, does Sheriff Ticker?
Sheriff Ticker told you?
You know full well what he's told me.
It was years ago, for the love of God. You're gonna drag it up all over again.
Might be it needs dragging up.
Shut up! You only make it worse.
He even cries like a woman.
Don't you call my husband.
In full embrace, the sheriff said. In the barn, kissing the boy.
He wasn't a boy, he was 17. It was years ago, Dean.
Sheriff Ticker says he felt sick. Two men kissing. that why you married him so quick? Protect his good name?
Why don't you ask the sheriff? He seems to know everything else.
Oh, he does. He does know everything. And what he doesn't know, he suspects. This time you won't get away with it. I'd arrest you this very minute if I could.
Arrest him for what? He hasn't done anything.
Well, now, we can't be sure of that, can we? Sheriff Ticker says it's a short leap from kissing to killing.
You know, a good interrogation usually ends really with a good suicide.
Yeah, so. There you go. So, Pa is left sniffling sniffling and crying as he leaves. Ma then beats him up real good right after that, saying, "I won't go through this again!" Seth sees this all go down, then watches his dad quietly walk outside to the gas pumps.
You know, where we don't know for sure if Arthur Lee Allen was the Zodiac, except that after being questioned by the police, he just, you know, kind of died within a week. I don't know. And everybody loves, you know, all these other guys that might have been Zodiac. They weren't questioned and then inexplicably died within soon of being caught. So,
you know, who knows? That seemed pertinent to what we were talking about. So,
you know, you'd like to think that you know, you're interrogated. You might feel guilty about certain things, but not guilty enough to kill yourself, you know?
Yeah.
The guilt, that's almost guilt, is when you kill yourself.
So, I guess so. You know, I wouldn't know. I live a good Christian lifestyle, Jeremy, so.
We're all white as New York snow.
Exactly. So, Seth sees his dad go walk out to the gas pumps, where Seth's dad then takes the gas out and starts drinking some of it right from the pump, and then dousing his entire body with gasoline as he starts fumbling with the matches to light himself on fire. Not realizing that his son is watching this all happen, and just as he's about to fucking spark the match, his son makes his presence known. Just lights himself on fire, causing a giant blaze that I'm sure all of the surrounding neighbors could see.
You know, whatever they put as that liquid really looked like gasoline.
Yeah, it was good.
Or the fact that he just, like, looks like he's really guzzling it down hard, so...
So the family watches in horror as it goes up in flames right in front of the boy.
I remember watching this after how many times and how many years I've seen it, and like, oh, those are the special pumps with the crown on top, crown globe, which is like the American Pickers would just know by heart. So,
man, yeah, this whole episode is a whole American Pickers dream, wet dream happening. Oh, look at this harpoon he's got right here. Look at that. Could you check that out, Jim?
Hey, Mike and Frank, you want to come over here? Here's where I keep my well and usually dead kids floating in the water.
Hey, let me ask you, could you do without the dead kid? Because I'd buy it off you. I'd buy the dead kid off you, charred or not. What do you do? You do $50?
And I don't know, Mike and Frank, if you're interested over here. Yeah, I got a box with dead babies in it.
Well, sir, listen, you got two of these dead babies. Can you leave? Can you come off one for $25?
Well, you know, the going price is like $1,000. I'd only give you like $750. I gotta have $800 for this dead baby. So, it's actually an angel.
Next, we see Seth really not too heartbroken about all the things he's seen and running around with an American flag to go greet his returning brother, played by Viggo Mortensen, Cameron, coming down the road.
Hey, Viggo!
Seth seems very excited to tell him about his dad exploding. he's like, hey, did you see dad explode? It was metal. And Cam says...
He's like kissing boys.
Try not to think about it, all right? And he's like, why? It was fucking awesome. You should have seen dad explode. It was really good.
He drank a lot of gas.
I've never seen dad drink that much gas before.
Oh, gosh.
So Cameron then walks him back to the house, and they leave the American flag just in the road because he doesn't consider himself a hero, I guess. And Cameron and Mom then in the house have an odd embrace. Mom is still struggling with the loss of her husband, saying, "I got to get the house ready for Pa."
As if she wasn't crazy before.
Yeah. So Cam then goes out to Pa's grave and then sits there and says, "Should have gotten out here years before she drained you." Next, we see the man with an eye patch that shows up out of nowhere.
Sheriff Picker.
Whiskers keep growing. And you're dead. Everything else stops. But hair just keeps on sprouting. Hair never dies. Just goes on and on. Heard you were back, Cameron.
Can we stop this real quick? Sheriff.
Hair keeps growing after you die. Hair keeps growing.
Sorry.
The hair keeps growing.
Should have been another song.
Gosh, you do
I
your
apologize,
best.
Quality time listeners.
You're doing your best here, Jerry. You're
I
doing
could do
your
this
best
entire
work.
Movie as a song. I love it that much. So. And now the song of just screaming. And masturbating. So
we hear some more from Sheriff Ticker.
The sheriff for over 30 years, and I never seen so many circumstances. People stop me and say, "Sheriff Ticker, what's happening?" And I have to say, I don't rightly know.
You know, a lot of things in this land, but country too old for old men, so... I don't know what this man is, but goes around with an air pump and trying to kill people with air instead of a gun. So
he says he wants to go question the boy, and he says, "You know, started with a kiss, that's for sure." Sheriff Ticker, who can't get over Pa's gay sex past, goes to
Made
question
me
the boy.
Sick to watch him kiss, but yeah. I just watched him anyway.
No matter how many times I asked him to do it again for me, he never would. So he goes to talk to the boy privately, away from his brother.
Turtle. Snapper it was. Big as a pig and vicious as hell. Got my hand. Can you beat that?
So he's missing his hand. He just has this weird latex glove hand on one arm.
Crocodile! Bit my hand off! Oh my gosh! But I'll teach you how to be the greatest golfer you can be. So,
by the way, speaking of that actor,
Action Jackson.
Have you seen the Mandalorian meme where he's just like, "Mandalore isn't that? It's a creed," and it shows Apollo Creed.
Creed. It's not science fiction anymore.
So he goes on to talk about the rest of what's happened to him over the years.
Few years later, a dog almost chewed off my ear.
And he does have like a gnarly bite mark in the edge of his ear.
Oh, gosh.
And it gets worse than that. How did you get the eye patch?
Then a wasp stung out my eye. 30 years a sheriff, and all I've had to contend with are vicious animals. But now, we got a new kind of animal. One I ain't seen before. A kind of animal that does things to children.
Can I say it? Well, I think we could have done this just a little bit better.
Who's that?
Rip Torn.
Rip Torn? Yes. Yeah. You could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a pedophile.
What are you doing with that elephant? God damn it! Look what I can do, Daddy! Look what I can do!
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages?
I'm gonna sacrifice people on my Aztec tower with naked girls around. Try to take that beast, master.
And be fish seem like an angel of mercy. The only trouble is, I ain't sure if the monster's still out there somewhere. We're 6 feet under. Perhaps your father took secrets with him into that grave of his. Your pa, did he ever touch you? Where'd he touch you, boy?
In the kitchen.
No. I don't mean that. Did he ever touch you in places?
Places outside the kitchen?
No. Places.
Did he ever fuck your boy pussy or not? Tell me now.
With your ding-a-ling?
Did he ever insert a broom handle into your ass?
Did he ever use lube?
Hey, listen. Did he tell you about the angels?
On your person.
Like where?
Your people.
Like private places, boy.
Private places?
Yeah.
You could be a little bit more specific.
Like here, boy.
Did he ever do this to you? He just starts jerking again.
No, he didn't do much touching.
I guess he didn't really love me.
Can I just say this is the worst Scooby-Doo mystery ever? You know, all of the kids should have been on to, you know, the kids in the Cadillac, but no, it's the vampire woman.
That or, is
or
true.
The dad.
Or
so.
The dad or that. So, well, Jeremy.
Good job, Mystery Machine. You can't have a clue.
Well, we pretty much have all our players now introduced. We're a little bit more than halfway through. I think this is going to be it for this episode, Jer.
Ooh.
I think we'll do a two-parter, mostly because I'm going on a ski trip next week and I won't be able to record. So we need to make an extra hour of content out of this. Isn't that fun?
Always.
Okay, cool. Tight.
Your show, dude. I just come in and make funny jokes.
Hey, we're still waiting for that to happen. So, anyway, listen.
Funny,
You can catch me and all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com, Eric with a K, Comedy with a C. Got a bunch of new shows and murder mysteries coming up. You can check out Die Laughing Productions or just hop on my website to find links to that shit. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month. You can check that out at the Auto Bar, hosted by Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan, former host of the show. All that shit and more coming up. Jeremy, take us out.
I can't thank the people that have joined. So many people have joined. Midgets are awesome. Thank you very much.
A wasp stung my eye.